Okay, I'm Abigail Jacoby. It is December 4th, 2023. And do I have your consent to record everything?
Yes.
Okay, and could you please do a brief introduction of yourself and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Erin Lauchs, L-O-U-C-K-S. I am a general pediatrician in the Dundee Children's Physicians at about 48th and Dodge. I have been in practice for about 17 years now. And I just take care of kids kind of all over Omaha, but in particular, I take care of kids east of 72nd Street.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes. So we are having this conversation in regards to social awareness and remediation in Omaha and just kind of what has been the community response. That's what our focus for this project is really on. So you were going to dive into talking about some kiddos that you have with high.
So I would say I'm lucky because most kids in my population, most parents are really nowadays educated about lead. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of the community action. I think a lot of parents get mailers or they just know through the news about the worrisome effects of lead, but then also the prevalence of lead in our soil. And then I would say majority of my population live in older houses. So they just kind of know going into moving into a house what the risks of living in that house is. Mm-hmm. And so we really base our testing on their age and then several risk factors that I'll show you. But I would say I start testing most kids, all kids at age one, just because they are the ones that are crawling on the floor, starting to walk, getting in into everything. Prior to age one, I mean, they start doing that at 6 months of age, but you almost have to have them exposed for a period of time in order for it to show up in their system. Right. So you don't want to test a six-month-old because it's probably going to be negative. Okay. So on all my one-year-olds, mostly because they are mobile, but then also because they put everything in their mouth. Mm-hmm. And so even if they don't have risk factors, I'll test the one-year-olds no matter what. So we have a questionnaire that you've probably seen a million times where the parents will fill out at the yearly check. So at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we usually check them up through age 5 years of age. And the reason why we stop at that age is mostly because we hope that they're not putting things in their mouth at that age. If they're developmentally delayed and doing that, then we usually will do it longer. Or if we know that the family has been doing renovation in the house, then we may do it after age 5. But it's pretty unusual for them to need it after age 5. So we have the questionnaire, which I'm sure you've seen, but it's usually the zip code, and we give them a list of zip codes, and it's mostly the ones that are east of 72nd Street. And that would be in their home, in a daycare, or if they spend a lot of time at like a grandparent's house that's in that zip code. Do they live and regularly visit a house built before 1978? Do they live or are in frequent contact with a person who works with lead in a job or a hobby? And that's usually like, you know, obviously lead, but then also stained glass. We've had a lot of people who work with stained glass and they've had high levels because of that. Okay, do they have a brother or sister who's had lead poisoning? So that's an automatic red flag if they've had a sibling with high lead levels in the past. Do they play with keys? So that's a hard one because I think all kids play with keys. But if they're really putting it into their mouth, then that would be a red flag. Chewing on painted surfaces or eating paint chips or soil, that being obvious. But then imported candy from Mexico.
Interesting.
Is another one.
Okay.
And then putting jewelry, children's jewelry in their mouth is a red flag. And then ceramic bean pot to cook in. And I find that's very cultural. So it often goes along with eating imported candy from Mexico. So it's a lot of Mexican food that they might be cooking in. So those are our big questions that we usually ask yearly. So the interesting thing I find in my world is we have a lot of patients that we just do based on zip codes that don't have any of those other risk factors. And the parents are like, oh, they don't put anything in their mouth. They don't do any of those other things, mm-hmm. but then they end up being elevated, and it's like a shock to the parents, you know, even if they're not doing renovation, even if they're not, they're digging in soil, they find that it's probably when they're not even noticing that they're putting stuff in their mouth.
Yeah.
So I have a lot more. And I would say, as far as levels go, I'll show you. Our cutoff for lead is less than 2 is what we ideally want them to be at.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, when the parents get it on their portal, normal is really seen as 4.9 and less.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say if it's above 2 but less than 4, I would still watch it closely because, mm-hmm. and you probably know this already too, we do a finger poke because it's easier, but the most accurate is usually the venous.
Right.
So if we had one that was elevated, you know, above 5, then we do a venous just to double check it. But a lot of it can be just surface skin, mm-hmm. Lead levels that aren't truly high.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
We do a lot of lead levels here. It's almost unusual for a kid to leave a healthy check without doing a lead level, I would say,
mm-hmm.
because of our geographic location and because of the risk factors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you from Omaha?
I'm from Lincoln. It's not very far.
From Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you grow up knowing that there was high lead?
No. In fact, I don't think in Lincoln, I could be wrong, but I don't think they even check it in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I think ours came about because of the history in Omaha of having the lead plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because when we became more aware of it. I feel like it has been.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was never talked about in Lincoln.
Okay.
So
when was the first time that you think you heard about it? Was it medical training? Or?
Yeah, okay. When I was a resident.
Okay.
Or a medical student, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how often, what do you say, like, how many kids test positive for lead or high lead levels in a single day?
I would say, you know, I might see 30 well checks, and I probably will get one elevated level nowadays, probably every couple days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a huge amount, but I guess if you looked at the numbers, it might be, yeah.
Okay, so when you get that test result back, what are the next steps that you take?
So if it was just minimally elevated, I probably wouldn't put them through like a venous poke,
mm-hmm.
because even if you did the venous, most often the venous are lower than the actual capillary.
Okay.
So what I would do is if it was minimally elevated, I would just have them come back. We usually see them every 3 months. For a recheck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it came back high, like it was like 10, then I would definitely do a venous, mm-hmm. right away, have them go to the lab and check it. We find that, and I've seen, because I've been in practice long enough, you will have, and you know this already, you will have, you know, effects on the IQ,
mm-hmm.
even at levels 8, 9, 10. So that's why, you know, above 5, we watch well.
Mm-hmm.
We get real serious about it. And then I would actually have the parents call the city or have our social worker call the city and have them come out and look at their property, do lead level checks on their window sills, on their soil,
mm-hmm.
and just within the house. So.
Okay. And how do you have that conversation with parents? What do you tell them?
I just tell them the importance of follow-up,
mm-hmm.
And tell them how worrisome it is, because I think some people still to this day don't think even a small elevation is worrisome, but
mm-hmm.
I think because we check it so much here, they know the importance of it, and so I think they get worried enough that they do follow up without
mm-hmm.
any worries, without me worrying about the follow-up. So I just try to stress the importance of follow-up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any barriers in getting kids proper care?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as follow-up, yeah, transportation, getting
mm-hmm.
to the lab. Because the city would come out to the house, I think that isn't a barrier. I think one of the barriers is I've had some where there's been high levels in the house, and they need to move. Like,
mm-hmm.
they should move, they need to move, and they can't financially. So that's
mm-hmm.
a big barrier, I think. And it's really sad, actually, because every family should have access to a house that doesn't have high levels of lead, you know. So I think that would be the only other barrier is good housing.
Okay. Yeah, that is really sad.
Yeah.
So our class is focusing on this issue as an environmental injustice towards certain groups. Mm-hmm. Do you think you would consider this to be that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would. I would say it's definitely a injustice to lower income, to families who can't afford housing that may or may not have less lead level.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely do. And then, of course, it's going to be the families that don't show the importance of even going to healthcare checks. I mean, mm-hmm. I have some families that don't show up for healthy checks. And if you don't show up, they would never have their lead level
right.
checked. Mm-hmm. So I do think, and then that would come into play transportation again. Sometimes kids can't be transported to their checkups. And so then they never know about the lead level.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely. And then you think about even families that, I mean, this doesn't happen as much, but we did have like high lead levels in a daycare setting that wasn't even the home. And it was, a lower income daycare. Mm-hmm. And so that would be another risk factor for these mm-hmm. kids.
And was that more of the building and the paint?
It was the building and the paint.
Okay.
And I think they finally figured out after they went to several homes that it wasn't the actual home, and then they started thinking about the daycare.
Yeah.
So that would be another.
Ooh, that's scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Large group of kids, yeah.
Yeah. So has knowing all of this changed the way that you raised your kids or checked on the health of your kids?
Probably, but that might be just because I'm a pediatrician and I know too much. But
probably affects everything you ever do.
But I think the biggest thing is just knowing, everything that goes in your mouth could affect your body. So
mm-hmm.
I think, and I think it has affected how I educate parents on, kids put things in their mouth, but you just need to be extra careful about what it is that they put
mm-hmm.
in their mouth, A toy, a simple toy is probably okay, but has it been washed? Has it
mm-hmm.
been in contact with soil? I do think it has affected my perception of the simple things like toys and exposure,
Do you think enough is being done as far as remediation efforts or education for the community?
I think education for the community has been really good. I mean,
okay.
I do think Omaha in general, ever since I started practice, it's gotten better and better as far as educating the community. I see signs everywhere. I see billboards.
Mm-hmm.
I find that they really have gotten out to North Omaha in East Omaha about
mm-hmm.
checking it. I think education is good. What was the first part of the question? Sorry.
The remediation.
The remediation.
Yes.
I find that it is better. The city does do a better job of going out. I do find that you have to have a certain threshold that they'll do anything about, which isn't always good because there's sometimes
mm-hmm.
lower than that threshold that things need to still be done. But
right.
I think follow-up is the biggest thing too, and sometimes we do have to involve our social work to make sure that it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think overall we're progressing to improvement.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah.
What else do you think somebody studying this should know about lead? I mean, you see this, you talk about it every day
mm-hmm.
to your patients. What else should people know?
I think for the most part, I think the biggest thing probably that pops into my head is just follow up, because having one lead level is one moment in time
mm-hmm.
and it can change. So I just think the importance, and that's what I hear from parents all the time, is we checked it last year, and I'm like, no, we got to check it every year
mm-hmm.
continuously for 5 years. So I think that is just follow up. And
mm-hmm.
then, people are transient, people move a lot, and they just follow up, I think, is the biggest thing.
Okay.
And then once you find a high lead level, making sure that they are engaged in intervention if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true. I mean, if you've got a high lead level, that's great. You know it. We can remediate and change the environment that the kid is in, but then they probably will need speech. They probably will
mm-hmm.
need accommodations once they get to school. So I think that's the big factor, too, that sometimes we forget about.
Okay. What does treatment look like for a really high level of lead in the blood?
So the treatment would be chelation, and I've
mm-hmm.
only had two patients in 17 years that have needed chelation, and that's, okay. you know, admission to the hospital, doing iron chelation through an IV.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uncommon that you have to do it, but mm-hmm. that's kind of at the level where you're not only worried about their brain, but then also in one case, I had a kid who had broken bones because of the iron mm. had seeped into the bones mm-hmm. And it had caused long-term effects on the bones. In that case, I mean, it just takes forever for the lead levels to come down because it's mm-hmm. really ingrained into the bone marrow. But that is the most severe cases. And that would be iron levels of like 25 and over. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've only seen two cases of that.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them under 25 is just mostly close monitoring and just rechecking it every few weeks.
Okay.
So
that would mostly be removal of the source of lead then, just
right.
to let that,
right.
that level come
that
down?
That would be the treatment. Okay. Yeah. Would be okay. removal. And removal of them from the, either the source being removed or they need to move
mm-hmm.
pretty quickly.
Okay. So. What else should we know?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is great.
Had you seen all those risk factors before? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure mm-hmm. you heard it 1,000 times.
The bean pot, I don't think I had seen that.
Yeah.
Was surprising.
Yeah, that's the only one. I know you've probably seen the jewelry and the,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and the ported candy.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
Common. Yeah, mm-hmm. if you go to a clinic out west, they don't hardly check for lead, but maybe once.
Right.
Every so often, it just
yeah.
doesn't happen.
They just I don't remember check. It ever being talked about
right.
growing up. So.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That
had to
makes
worry
sense.
About it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what a great project you picked.
Yeah,
that's
been really, really
great.
Good
project. Mm-hmm. It's a group of you doing it. Or?
Yeah, there are four of us.
I'm trying to remember the group. It's a nonprofit group that they go out to the homes too. Doing, oh, what's it called? I can't think of it. And they used to be in Dundee. I'll think of it when you leave. But yeah, they used to go out to the homes, and I'm gonna
mm-hmm.
forget the name of it. But obviously, that doesn't ring.
And it's not
you.
Here anymore.
I don't know if it is.
The Omaha Healthy Kids Alliance?
Yes, that's
is that
it.
What? Yeah.
They're still around, right?
I don't believe so.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that
yeah.
sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense because I haven't heard about them for a while.
Right.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah, I think it's been a couple years.
Because they
so.
Really just weren't getting the funding. Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've interviewed great people. Hopefully it turns
yeah.
out to be a good project.
Is there anybody else that you think... that we should interview about this?
Oh, gosh. No, I mean, the only other medical person I can think of is Dr. John Walburn, which your mom will know who that is. But he was kind of one of the instigators of the project of
mm-hmm.
checking for iron. But I think, gosh,
okay.
if your project's due Wednesday, you probably got what you need for me. So. But no, I can't think of anyone else. You've
okay.
got great people already.
Yeah,
so.
We've had a really... great time interviewing lots of people.
Oh,
so it's been really
is
cool.
everyone kind of interested in the medical field and all that that they're doing?
No,
right now?
It's people of all different majors.
I
so
love that.
Yeah, it's been really great.
That's awesome.